Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Hi, Mills.
Hi, Mitchie. How are you going?
Good. I'm really well.
Are you excited about today?
I am. This is a cool
interview. This is going to be cool because, I don't know. I'm going to be stuck with two Irish, so I don't know how that's going to be. I'm going to have to see if I can understand the two of you.
We're all Irish.
Everybody's inside,
Irish somewhere along the way, or else they want to be.
Welcome, Celine Egan. Hello.
Hey.
I can't believe we haven't had you on here already, to be honest.
I'm really excited. I was just excited about hanging out with you guys anyhow. It's always fun. We're never quite sure where our conversation is going.
That's exactly right. That's what makes it fun.
And we spend most of our time just trying to keep Mitch in check, really. So.
Exactly.
And I just want to say straight out of the gate, Mills, you're my favourite.
Oh, yay!
We know what that really means, don't we?
Yes, that I'm her favourite.
So it's good to have you on here, C.
Are we calling her C?
Yeah, I call her C. I think I'm the only one that gets away with it. Anybody else can slap in the head.
I was just going to say, if I was anywhere near you, you'd get a keep around.
It's funny because we haven't been able to give each other a hug or a squeeze for quite some time.
I know. It feels like forever, doesn't it?
It's way too long. It's way, way too long.
It has been too long.
We've got to change that.
We're going to get there.
So before we get going, Celine, how about we start with your favourite song or a song you're listening to at the moment?
What's your go-to?
Well, my go-to at the moment is a song called Thrive, and it's from Casting Crowns. And at this point, you should be all, waving your hands.
Yeah, my God. I'm having visions of Hillsong right now. And I'm just...
And you love it because it's about thriving instead of surviving, is that right?
Absolutely. I was dancing there and my my chair started to go down.
Oh my God. That's all right.
If you all disappear off the video, we'll know why.
We all want to feel a little taller than we think we are, don't we? We all want to feel that. And funny thing is that I'm pretty sure that my mother has dropped about an inch a year now for the past 10 years. She's only 3'2". So she's literally one of the little people. So as people get older, I reckon we lose a bit of height, right?
Yeah. I think you might need to switch that off now as well, Celine. Because
I know you like it, Celine.
Lost you guys?
No.
Oh, no, we're still here.
No, I can see you.
There we are. Okay, we've got you back, Celine. I don't know what happened there, but it was a whole little crash, which I think is the internet on your side of the country. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. As I said, you're much more advanced in the West than what we are over the side. We're just going to go with the flow, okay?
Let's go with the flow. Before we get in, because I know we're going to talk about lots of stuff today, but I think a good place to start is how we met and how, I don't even know, I remember meeting you in Queensland, but I don't know how you got there or where you, how you heard about us. How did the meeting happen?
How did it happen that I let you come to one of my seminars?
Oh my God.
Yeah, right. Okay. How were you blessed with showing up? Okay. So, and how have you been blessed ever since? have amazing women myself and Mills in your life. But anyhow, actually, what happened was my gorgeous husband Michael, who you both are very well aware of as well. Mick was kind of. I remember him saying to me one day, this personal development stuff that you do kind of thing, maybe I should look at some of it kind of thing. And I'm kind of going, you what? So it was kind of like, oh, okay, all righty. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what did I bring him to? So I actually rang our dear friends, Linda and James Evenden. And I just said to Linda, I said, all right, Mick wants to do a personal development course. And I'm not really sure what to bring him to because I don't want to frighten him in the first moment. And I also want him to kind of get something out of it. And James and Mick are actually quite alike. And James was in the background too. And Linda goes to James, what do you think? And we're kind of going, because there are a lot of big seminars that you can kind of get lost in. That's one of the things that I love about what you guys do at MGP is that no one ever gets lost in the room. I think, you're there and you're actually not getting out till you get it. So it's kind of like, you really do get to be able to get the benefit. And they said to me, you know what, MJB. Now, I, at that point in time, I'd never heard of you gorgeous people, never heard of anything that you had done or anything. And so I thought, you know what, this sounds really cool. And I wanted something that we could do together as a couple as well. I've been on a personal development journey since I probably was in my, you know, mid-20s maybe. So it's been a little while.
Like 5 years ago then.
Yeah, yes. Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you. I've got a birthday coming up.
I believe 45 years. 5 years ago.
Watch it, you. So anyhow, so yes, we literally just jumped in. And it was funny because, of course, you know, Mick, bless his soul, he's a skeptic, so he was Googling and all sorts. And I says, don't be reading any of that. Do we trust Linda and James? And he says, yep. And I says, well, then, you know what, let's just show up and make up our own mind. And yeah, and it's been a love affair ever since.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah. So can I just ask the question then? Had you for years, because it's a funny thing, you know, when the missus gets into PD, right? And yeah, it's a lot of the time, the husband becomes, you know, the darker side going, yeah, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, they're all mad. Oh, you don't need to do that. So you're already brilliant. The hell are you going to do that for? Were you trying to convert him for years, or did you get out? Because women go through, you know, I meet women that come in, and men as well come in, and, you know, they have some experiences, and then they go home and they're like, honey, I've worked out why you're so messed up. It was your mother, you know? And then they try to convert the partner into coming along or something like that.
Totally. Was there a bit back on? That was me for years, kind of thing. I am the committed praying wife, I can tell you. God love him. I was going to solve and cure him from everything, you know. and it's so funny because I actually remember the very first phone call that we had, Mitch, actually. And, you know, we're chit-chatting around, you know, and why we're going and all the rest kind of thing. And you said to me in a loving way, as you do, you look after yourself. We've got him. In other words, give up that kind of thing. Focus on yourself and what you're going to learn. Yeah. Because I'll be honest, guys, you know what? I have done, you know, a lot of PD over the years. I trained as a coach. You know, I thought I had it all together, and of course I, you know, knew all my stuff. Well, anyhow, needless to say, that wasn't actually the case. but it was just, you know, again, we can kind of get a little bit ego driven and feel like, you know, we've done it all, we've learned it all. But what we find out is that we're just like an onion, and there's just another layer to keep peeling and learning more about ourselves and that too. So it was great. I learned so much, but then it was also the trust from those first interactions to know, you know what, you had Mick and you were able to then, you know, walk him through his journey of what he needed to learn. So that was pretty special.
And the funny thing is, like, the skeptics really get it. You know, like, we love when we have someone that's skeptical because we know they're just so close and they're just trying to hang on, you know, and they're just like, please let me know if you're going to show me this, that I'm actually going to no longer be skeptical. I want to know that the thing I've been skeptical about, I don't need to be skeptical about anymore, because I don't want to live my life as a skeptic. And I'm watching my wife grow so much and learn so much and take off, and her life take off, and, you know, become, I suppose, in a way, famous. And I want to be able to be part of that journey with her. So I remember having Mick in there, and he was so skeptical, but he was just lovely to work with, you know, because he was he's straight. What you see, like, there's no, you know, you hear that, oh, what you see is what you get. But Mick is the epitome of what you see is what you get. And he just, he called it 100% as it was. But that says a lot for you as well, because it takes a lot to be able to give up that part of you that wants to nurse him and help him. And you feel like, you know, because especially in your industry, there's so, like, I've seen this quite a lot in, you guys are, this is what, one of the things that makes you unique is that you guys encourage it. The whole family needs to come along the journey. Bring the whole, Juice Plus thing is all the family, the kids, the husband, everybody needs to be taking this product because it's fucking excellent. Excuse my friend. It's excellent. But in other cases, when the wife goes on a journey, you know, they feel as if there's a gap between the husband and themselves. Do you know what I mean? And they're leaving them behind.
I've seen that so much. No, I've seen that so much over the years. I've been in this profession for 37 years, 28 kind of full time. And I've definitely seen that. And myself and Mick have been together since we were in school. So we're together like 39 years now. And so there, in my, you know, previous companies or whatever like that, there was nearly that kind of, you know, there was that gap. And so you were going on a journey, and you can at different stages in your life outgrow one another.
Yeah.
And it's kind of having that unified vision that brings you back together. So hopefully, you know what, you know, you end up, you know, growing together rather than apart. Because as a coach, even when I was coaching small business owners, I saw so many couples actually go separate directions because they got to a point where, you know what, their interests were different. They'd grown apart and they hadn't. You know, they hadn't kind of, one had gone on a personal development journey and was growing, and the other hadn't. And there was just, you know, it was so many differences.
Yeah.
Can I just say, can I go back to, you know, you choosing to come along and do this and obviously wanting to do it with Mick, but you had done a lot of PD work before, right?
Yes.
So it wasn't, I don't know, you, did you come in trying to fix something, or did you come in trying to want to know more? How did you come in with, like, what attitude were you coming in with when you met us?
Look, one of my values is to be a lifelong learner. My dad kind of really instilled that in me. He said, you know, the day you stop learning is the day you start dying.
Yeah.
And so I've always kind of embraced that. So I had, look, you know, back in the early days, I had traveled. I spent 3 years going back and forth to the US to actually train under some master coaches. We didn't have them on this side of the world at that point. So I'd invested lots over the years. And there was an ego part of me that kind of thought, you know what, you know, you've learned it all kind of thing. What more is left to learn? But I have to say, after the initial pre-conversations with you guys before we went into the course, I realized that, you know what, you know, there's always something more to learn. And so I was going to come in with just open heart and open mind to see what else can I learn. And for me, I'm constantly learning so that I can teach. With our beautiful communities within, you know, within our Juice Plus family and within the direct selling community as a whole, I love to be able to kind of learn stuff and then kind of be able to make it then relevant, I suppose, within their business mindset and that same language. So I'm always going in to learn both for myself, but also how I can teach. So for me, it was, that doesn't make it any least, you know, less nerve-wracking or nervous, because you kind of go, oh God, what am I going to learn about myself now?
Yeah.
That is always something else. So
I think that
it was still nerve-wracking, but it was good.
I think there's a misconception. The reason I ask is I think there's a misconception that you have to have like really bad stuff happen to you, or you have to have big traumatic experiences, or you have to be feeling unsuccessful in life or any of that stuff to come along and to do some work on yourself. And I just feel like that wasn't the case for you. I don't know if I've lost you there. Celine, have I lost you again? Frozen up.
Unless Selena's sitting there like that.
I can't see.
Got her eyes closed like this. No, she's meditating on what I've said for a really long time.
Correct.
That's her job. She just needs to come out now.
I don't know what's going on, guys.
I don't know whether it's my end or your end or what's going on. We're hooked into the power. We're hooked in directly to the Wi-Fi.
They just said to me, is Celine gone? And I said, well, unless she's sitting there like that.
It's very funny.
So
I think that there's a misconception that you have to have some trauma happen, or that life has to be really bad, or that you're not successful in the first place for you to want to do personal development work.
But also there's a misconception that when you go and do personal development, you're going to learn that there's a big gap between who you are and where you want to be, and they're going to open a can of worms, and that's just not true. What happens is you go and learn. And you learn personal development to learn tools to be able to bridge the gap between who you are and where you want to be. Because ultimately, people go and do it because they know they're not where they want to be, right?
Yeah. And I think
I think we have to remember, it goes back to that kind of quote about what, you know, Jim Rohn says, you're not a tree. If you don't like it, move, you know, and learn. Because I mean, and that's the thing. And I, you know, from the moment we're born till the moment that, you know, we die, it is a journey of continuing to learn. And I think when we get to a point where we think we know it all, we're really in trouble. I think that's the thing. Like, you know, if we all think that we've all got it all together, life will throw curveballs at you. As a family, we've gone through 4 months of you know, layering one on top of the other of a number of issues that, you know, again, we've had grief to deal with and thought patterns to deal with and all the rest kind of thing. And I'm so grateful for not only the learning that I've done in the past, the commitment of learning to, you know, in the present, but also because of that learning in the past and the communities like yourselves, is that I've got people around myself and my family that can speak wisdom into the situations that we're navigating. And that's the other really powerful thing that I want to kind of share with people who are listening, is that it's not just about the personal development course. It's not just about showing up. It's actually the people you meet on that journey that is one of the most beautiful gifts that you can ever be given, because you then have, when you will go through challenge or times of growing or whatever it might be, because life is a roller coaster. We're all going to kind of, it's never, as you guys say, it's not all about plus, plus, plus. We're going to, you know, we're going to hit the minuses as well. To have the support network around you is so powerful. And that, and you know, and I'm so grateful for that, for both ourselves, myself and Mick, but also we made sure over these journeys that we also put all of those people in our kids' lives.
Yes.
And that's powerful.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
You know, I've saved up all the PD work that I've done throughout my life, all the books and manuals and everything else. And I actually have them at my house for when my kids get older, because they're gonna want to know, how'd you do it? You know, and you want to be able to say, well, this is this. I mean, you learn great stuff at school, but this is where you really learn. You know, this is where you learn from the masters, the people who thought about how they were thinking, so that they could think clearer and better and be more effective and, you know, be able to get to where they wanted to get to in their lives. So let's say I saw a great show last night. I have to tell you about it. And it's Who Do You Think You Are? But it was about Boy George. My God. It was like, because his people were from Finglas. And his uncle was a Republican who was one of the last people hung in Mountjoy. And then and it's the story about them burying his uncle in the grounds of Mountjoy. And then they later on, all nine bodies were exhumed and given proper burials later on. But it was just fantastic.
Okay, so for the non-Irish among us, okay. Finglas is a suburb of Dublin.
Right. Where Mitch's wife is actually from.
There you go. I spent many a day down there because my aunt, who raised nine kids, God bless her, in a two up, two down in Finglas, you were as likely to see horses on the street as you were to see people.
Yeah.
But salt of the earth people. And Mountjoy was a prison.
Yeah, okay.
So,
that's right.
So yes, it that's wasn't right. a that's joyful right. mountain. No, it was no, a prison. No. It was so a prison. Just to kind of put all of that.
Thanks
into
for
context.
The clarification.
No, I'm glad you put it into context. But I think the point about it was that, you know, the reason this guy was hung was because he tried to kill some of the British when they were doing big revolt was on in 1916, but it's a great piece of history to go back and watch where he came from. You know, so he goes back to research where he came from, not realizing who his people were. It was really a piece of magic. And I think that there was a couple of reasons I wanted to bring that up. The first one is there is a lot of magic that comes when we stop and we think about the commitment of the people before us to get to where we got to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we stop to recognize and say, you know what, you know, a lot of the time people sit around a dinner table with their mom and their dad and they don't realize that they're sitting with history and so much knowledge and wisdom, and you're sitting with, you know, people that are capable of administering stuff onto you, and we just take it for granted. Do you know what I mean? And either way, whether people do PD work or not, you always have a great amount of wisdom around you if you just stop and have a bit of a look, you know, or just ask a different question at the dinner table.
I love that, because I mean, it is, we talk about it, I suppose, a little bit, you know, in this profession, but I, you know, we're constantly thinking about, you know, you're standing on the shoulders of giants, because somebody has had to go before us to even us to have the ability to have this conversation today.
Yeah.
You know, the minds and everything that had to go into creating the technology. And but yeah. even from, you know, from my perspective, even like, you know, the ability and the freedom to be able to travel and settle on the other side of the world and be able to have this life and go back and forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, our family, like, you know, my father is one of 15, you know, raised in a house in Crumlin and Dublin kind of thing. My mom in, you know, Ballyfermot and whatever like that. And, you know, to be able to have vision and kind of look at what they had to go through for us to have the choices today.
Yeah.
And then in our profession, we talk about it, you know, success leaves clues. Who are the people who've walked before you that actually have left the clues for you to be able to follow. But, you know, sometimes around the dinner table, we kind of think, oh, that's just mum and dad. And yet, to your point, actually, there is so much wisdom.
Yeah.
I've started even just lately. I have a beautiful aunt in Adelaide who is 90, nearly 92. And when I go back and forth to visit her to check in, I've started recording our conversations.
Yeah, right.
Just asking her a few little stories, just asking her memories and whatever like that. So that they're not lost.
Because
there's so much. I mean, I remember it's the same with my own father. You know, he's one of 25. Second, I was 25 kids, and you know, when my grandfather was dying, my father spent a lot of time recording conversations, and my grandfather was a singer. You know, just recording him singing and like, just it's magical stuff like that. Because once it's gone, it's gone. You know, let's say. I'm, you know, if we'd have taken a camera into the bedroom of Celine Egan as a 15-year-old, what would have been on the walls? What were you waking up to? Who were the bands?
She was really worried me that was going to go.
Did you? See where your mind goes, Celine Egan. You see where your mind goes. My God. But what would I have seen on the walls there? What, you know, what were you singing into the hairbrush when you were a young kid? She jumped out because that was an awkward conversation.
Yeah. I know. I've been on calls all day and none of this happened. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm here. So who was on my bedroom wall?
Actually, and what were you singing into the hairbrush when you were 15? You know,
David Cassidy was on my wall. It was. My mother. Who's
David Cassidy? I mean...
Yeah, he was a singer back in the day. And David Soul.
Oh, I remember David Soul. Yeah. So David, yeah.
Yeah, my first album was, my second one was Fleetwood Mac. My first one was, oh my gosh.
Was it the Bay City Rollers? No.
Status Quo. Status
Quo. Yeah.
She's gone. She's cut out again. It's like she gets a point across and then she's...
I think it's her singing.
In my
she probably keeps kicking the internet.
I've stopped. Hang on.
You keep kicking the internet.
I don't know what's going on.
What do you keep kicking the internet?
I don't know what's going on. I have been literally on the call.
It's your energy, Celine.
I'm too excited.
We're blowing the power. Yeah, yes, so I got David Cassidy. No, we didn't. Can you do that again?
No.
I don't know who David Cassidy's, but I remember Status Quo. And so and who was Mick your first boyfriend?
He was my first real boyfriend. I've had a couple of boyfriends before and that kind of thing, but he was my first real boyfriend. We were together since I was 17.
Right.
Wow.
And were you sporty as a kid?
Yeah, I played camogie, which for those of you who are listening, I have no idea camogie. What that is.
No idea.
So if you've ever, probably Google hurling, H-U-R-L-E, hurley. So it's the girls' version of that. No difference, really, except that it's girls and it was boys. So, I played that and Mick played Gaelic football. Mm. And, of course, he was the jock. He was quite famous. He played for Dublin, which is a little bit like playing for an AFL team over here.
Wow.
And we were in the same club. That's actually how we met. We were in the same sporting club because I went to an all-girls school. He went to the Tech and I went to an all-girls school. But that's how we actually met was at, at that.
Wow.
So,
wow. So, and just so people understand, like, Hurling is considered it's considered one of the most dangerous games in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's super dangerous.
Yeah, I'm vicious.
And very vicious.
Put a stick in my hand. Yeah, it's great. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Like, so whenever you see all your aggression Celine, out, you know, wielding a stick anywhere, you just run.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, I would.
Normally what happens when I see her, she goes, oh, there's Mitch, where's a stick? Somebody give me a stick. I haven't hit
it. Well, it's funny. I was only thinking about it yesterday because I realised, you know, I've got scars down my shin bones from way back then.
I spent a bit of time working with Dennis Hogan, but his girlfriend was also a champion hurler.
Was she?
Oh yeah,
I did not know that.
And you would want to see her legs. His wife. Yeah. You would want to see her legs. My God, there are lumps out of.
Really?
Yeah, man, it was so dangerous. Such a dangerous game.
Great game.
I didn't. Right. So obviously, it wasn't a game that I played. But
nothing dangerous.
Oh, you're a wuss. North side wuss.
So I want to talk a little bit about how you got into what you're doing now, Celine, and like what got you into.
Actually, you have a great story about a swimming pool at someone's house, and you were there with the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul.
With Jack Hanfield.
Tell us the story. Come on. Tell us the story.
It was during the time when I was actually going back and forth to the States, during those 3 years that I was going back and forth to study under Jack Canfield, actually. For those who don't know who Jack is, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Amazing guy.
And many others. But my favorite personal development book still to this day, actually, is one of his called The Success Principles. And how I got to be there is, again, actually quite a really, really good story. I was at a lunch down in Hobart, and Dr. Ivan Meisner, the founder of BNI, was there from America. And I got to sit at his table, and he was chit-chatting. He said to me, you know, what are your favorite books and that? And I said, well, besides yours, Dr. Meisner, being very, you know, diplomatic. Jack Canfield, Success Principles. No, his books are actually really good on networking if anybody's interested. But anyhow, he says, Jack's a really good friend of mine. I said, it's one of my dreams to meet him because, you know, I've got a lot of respect for him. And he said, well, if you get to get over to any one of his trainings, I'll make sure that you do meet him. So I rang my girlfriend the next day and I said, we're going to America. And she says, what? And I says, we're going to Jack Canfield's seven-day program. And she says, really? And I says, yep. So I had no clue at that point in time how we were going to do that, and that, you know, business was okay, but it wasn't that okay. So anyhow, we did. It's amazing what you can do when you're determined. So we did, and I got to meet Jack, and then we ended up being in his platinum group. Myself and KJ were actually the only two Aussies that were actually in there. And so after, you know, one of the events, we weren't flying out for a day later, and Jack invited us to his home. So we were sitting by the pool, kind of brainstorming and whatever, and there was a lass there who had come to meet up with Jack, have a meeting with him, and she got talking. And she was actually, her name was Jane, and she was actually from the Direct Selling Women's Alliance. And anyhow, one thing led to another, and she introduced me to her partner in that, and we brought the Direct Selling Women's Alliance to Australia. That's how that kind of came. Fast forward a few years later, I was actually speaking back in America, speaking at their conference in LA. And it's where I met Louise, who is one of the co-owners of the Juice Plus Company for Australia and New Zealand. Right. I started to work with Louise, coaching with her. She'd just gotten kind of really involved in the business, consulting to the company. And the rest, they say, is history. Went one thing went to another. I became the national sales manager, then offered a directorship. And,
That's so cool, isn't it? We met Jack Canfield. He's a great guy, isn't he? He's so funny.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
He was on one of our earlier podcasts as well.
We had a lot of fun with Jack Canfield. And Jack Canfield loves a beer. He absolutely, and we had so much fun. Actually, at the end of that conference with Jack, he said, man, I'm going back to America to organize something like this, because he said the idea of hiring a ship and getting everybody on, he said, this is just great. And he wanted to stay on another week. It's actually so did Joe Dispenza. They were like, can we stay on another week, because I don't have to go anywhere. But he absolutely, because I mean, he was partying with all the Aussies, and it was only like 70 of us or 65 of us, so he was like, you know, I'm not going to get overcrowded, you guys are all great fun, da da da. He was a very, very approachable guy. very scary prospect.
But isn't it funny how you, like, these things, you make a decision to go and do these things and then you bump into the people that you need for the things that you need going forward, you know? It's crazy.
So it's then, just trusting. It's trusting and stepping in faith kind of thing. I think, you know, I'm a firm believer that every time you take a step forward, God, the universe, whatever you believe in, your higher power takes a step towards you too. And so, but we have to have the courage to take the first step.
So that's a really good point. So I have two things I want to ask you about there. So if I'm sitting at home and I want to take a step forward, what are the signals? What are the signs that I got, I'm going in the right direction? What does that, like, for anybody sitting there going, hey, that really spoke to me, how would I know which is the right step or whatever? What is that?
Trust your gut and your intuition. I mean, I generally will kind of go, and like, you know, you just said, like, what happens is doors open or you meet people or there's an ease that comes with it. Like, it's, you know, I actually was talking with some of our team earlier on. I was just talking about, you know, the only control you have is how you're going to show up today. What is it you're going to do towards that goal today? Because yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's in the future. Today is the day you get to live and the day you get to take control. And so as you step in, there is just a knowing. There's an, I suppose the more we listen to our intuition, the more we listen to our gut, we know that we're stepping in the right direction. But as long as you're stepping forward, you're never actually going in the wrong direction. You might pivot to get to your goal, but if you're actually in movement, in momentum, then what you will need will start to present itself.
I love that. So you found God when and what happened and how, because you're a big Christian. I give you a terrible hard time over and you give me a terrible hard time for not being one. But you're telling me how you, what happened? What was, because it's obviously a lovely story. It obviously was big enough to for you to be so committed, because you are, and it's lovely to be around it. So tell me.
So Irish Catholic. So of course, you know, we knew it all anyhow, and you know, so we've got, and we're sure that Jesus was actually Irish, because, like, I mean, he was a carpenter, he had all of these brothers, and, you know, he turned water into wine and all the rest kind of things. So so from that point of view, so I always had a knowing. I suppose it was just, I was never sure what, you know, growing up in the Catholic Church, and I'm so grateful for that heritage and some of the beautiful, you know, parts of it. But there was a part of it too that kept God very much on this pedestal and away from you. It was like, it was unachievable. You'd pray to everybody except to God, the saints, the angels, everybody. And then I got invited by a friend to, and there, so there was a part of me that was searching. So I got invited by a friend to a church to kind of come and have a little look. And I was quite active in our other church. I was in music ministry and all the rest kind of thing. But it was like I walked in and I started just to listen. And it was a very beautiful experience. I literally had tears flowing down for no reason. Mm-hmm. I knew that I had kind of come home. I knew that there was something deeper. There was a relationship there with, for me, God, Jesus, that higher being kind of thing, that was just, it was like this knowing, this switch within my heart to kind of go, you know what, you've come home. It doesn't matter, you know what has ever been behind you. It's what you get to do as you go forward from here. And it has been, it's been a beautiful relationship. It's been a learning, you know, for me, having a strong faith has brought us through many trials and tribulations kind of thing over the years, least of which kind of this last past 4 months as a family. I don't know where I would be mentally and whatnot without that faith. And I just, you know, I love that there is this North Star always that I can lean into, and, like, you know, having, you know, God to lean into, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the whole Trinity, the whole works kind of thing. I look at it and I go, you know, there's a power greater than me that knows, you know what, and has my back and has given me the gift of unlimited potential. And so it's up to me to step into then, you know, whatever the purpose that has been put on my life.
And I have to say, you know, for the years that I've hung out with you and been around you, I've always seen that you have a very personal relationship with that, you know, that energy with Jesus, with God, and with what your beliefs are. And I've never seen you try to impose it on anybody else, which is very unusual. You just come in with that, and if people want to ask questions, you'll talk about it. If they don't, that's okay. But you've always been able to share that, you know, that comfort with others who are, because people who, you know, people are a lot of the time quite lost. You know what I mean?
Totally.
They don't turn up here lost. They don't deliberately go, and I've gone become lost. They something happens and they become quite lost. So I love how you've always been able to just, with all of your wisdom, be that from your belief system or Christianity or your PD expertise, you've always been able to help people to be able to get on track. Do you know what I mean? And point them in the right direction and say, okay, this is the real deal. You know, this is nonsense, but this is actually the real deal, you know? So
I just want to kind of thank you so much for that. And I really appreciate that that's how I come across, because it really is how I want to come across. Mm. It's not about imposing my beliefs on anybody else. And I have lots of people who are non-Christian who reach out to me for prayer. Yeah. They ask me to kind of go, you know, you talk to them. Can you talk to them on my behalf or whatever like that? But there are other, you know what, everything that I've ever teach or how I live is from learning. So I can say that I was invited to another church prior to that, and there was a lot of judgment. I didn't know my Bible. I didn't know this. I didn't know that.
Right.
And so I felt less than. I never want anybody to feel like that. Now, no matter what, whether that is about your Christian faith or whatever faith you have, whatever it is you believe in, whether it's about your business, like, I mean, honestly, we've got a lot of direct sellers who try and literally, you know, pour and vomit on you and say you have to have it instead of being the person that actually attracts people to kind of get curious and ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, no matter whether we're talking about faith, we're talking about business, we're talking about, you know, a cause that you believe in, be the person that actually is attractive to people to kind of go, I'm curious about what she's going on about. Yeah. I actually want to know a little bit more. So I'm going to actually reach out. And it's the same when I used to kind of teach networking 101 back in the day when I was involved in the BNI, you know, it's about get more curious about people so that they actually get curious about you. Be the person who is curious and asking the questions and creating the relationships first.
Yeah.
So that, you know what? And it's not even because of that. It will come back, as we know. You know, whatever it is that you do, it comes back and repays you tenfold. It might not come back from that person, but it always comes back. It's just all about energy flowing.
And that's all about.
You want to be the energy givers.
And it's about leading by example. So it's not about like pushing your whatever, like you said, your business, your beliefs, or anything on top of anybody else. It's about being the best example that you can be so that people are attracted to you like a moth to a flame, you know. Or, you know, it's also you know, I really feel like when we think about you and when we talk about you, Celine, we talk about you in a way that we just know that you are like down to earth, really grounded, really honest, really upfront, and we love that about you. Like, we know that just like with me, what we see is what we get with you, you know. And I think that's all of those things that you do combine. That is your faith, that is your PD, that is you leading your business, that is you, you know, being empowered as a woman to be able to do those, you know. And you're the mama of so many people. Like, you've got your kids, but then you've got all of the other kids as well, right? So all of those together really bring that energy to
but you really see as well that they're all a pain in the arse, but you love them anyway, right? They're all a pain in the arse. You're a pain in the arse, but I love you.
I'm just beyond blessed to be Mama Celine, and I really am. Yeah. I our greatest achievement is being, you know, parents to our three amazing children and our angel in heaven. And then, of course, the other three that we've gathered in as a result of that, and my grandbabies in heaven. And then, you know, this tribe of people that I get to be able to be Mama Celine too. And I feel incredible. I mean, it helps me to live out my purpose. My purpose is to inspire people to, you know, to inspire themselves and others to live a life on purpose, for a purpose. Yeah. And they actually allow me to do that. And and so I kind of start off each day with being so grateful for the fact that I actually get to do what I get to do.
So, you know, with the, you started as, was it Direct Selling Women's Alliance?
Direct Selling Women's Alliance was, you know, this part of the journey. But I've been in the field. So I've been a direct seller since I was 19.
For a long time. But so you do you have a particular affinity with helping women get ahead and helping women be empowered? Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. And, look, you know,
and also, where did it come from?
Yeah, where did it come from? I was just going to say, I don't know whether it was my, you know, my background and growing up in Ireland. And, you know what, I'll be 56 next week. And so,
you don't look a day over 56.
And so the generation before me back in Ireland, like my mother had to give up work when she became a mother. And so, you know, I saw that now, you know, she was an amazing mom and she was there, but, you know, there was this kind of yearning in me to kind of go, you know what? Oh, okay. All righty. Well, I want to have, you know, I do want to be able to have other choices, but I also saw too, the generation, especially growing up in Ireland where, you know, a woman suddenly became, I suppose at the behest of their husband, and so if anything was to go wrong in that, well, you know what, oftentimes they didn't have choices as to whether they could go, whatever, they didn't have any way of supporting themselves. And I am a type 8 on the Enneagram. I'm quite, you know, driven and whatever like that, independent. And so I always kind of felt like, you know what, I actually really do want to be able to have choices. I am blessed to have the most amazing man on the planet that I get to do life with. But I also wanted us to be a partnership, to be a team, so that together we could bring out the best. But also, too, that if life threw us a curveball, and not through divorce or whatever like that, I mean, there's death, there's divorce, there's illness, there's all sorts of things that can mean that a woman suddenly needs to stand on their own two feet. I saw a dear friend of mine a few years ago, widowed at in her early 40s, not really set up for success. And what that strain, that extra level of strain that it brought to already a scary situation. So for me, it was about being able to give women especially choices, extra choices. Mm. That's all it's about. And whether that choice is earning an extra couple of hundred dollars a week so they have a choice to be able to go and get their hair done without thinking about it. Or, you know what, one night I'm not cooking and I'm having takeaway. Or being able to say yes to more. So, you know, the kids have got a school excursion. You don't have to think about where you're going to get the money from. Or we had three kids who all played high level sport. One played state league netball and two played state league soccer, as well as all of it. That was not cheap. So for me, I wanted to be able to do that. And I remember I'll share this little story that really brought it home to me. And it's years ago at a sales meeting. And I've got so many of these stories, but this one always jumps into my mind. I had a lass come up to me, Vivian, and she's got tears. And I'm going, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Is everything okay? And she's, I'm just so grateful. And I said, what's wrong? It was just before Christmas. And she says, I am so grateful for you saying yes, because that meant that I get to say yes. She says, because this is the first year that her kids had new toys under the Christmas tree. Still gives me goosebumps. Mm. And she had been able to buy, and this will tell you how old the story is, but she had been able to buy her mom and dad a DVD player because they'd wanted one for years and they didn't have one. She'd been able to go out and buy that new from her money that she was earning from her direct selling business.
Wow.
Now, I know so many stories like that. Women that have been able to leave abusive relationships because of the fact that their direct selling business at least gave them some freedom to be able to have a choice and whatever like that. So I am passionate about women and, you know, women's rights and the opportunity. I'm not a, you know, kind of women's liber. I still love my husband. When we're walking down the street, will always put me to the inside. He will always open a door for me. We teach our boys to open a door. I am not so far on one side that it's about emasculating our male counterparts. And I think that's really important.
I think so too. And that,
you know, because I see so many women who whinge about not being treated as a princess or a queen by their man, and yet they don't allow them to really. Mm-hmm. And I went through a season of that. So I recognized that I had gone so far into my male energy been driven and all the rest, that I'd forgotten about my femininity. And so it's been able to make sure that I'm balancing that, but also to be able to give that gift to other women as well.
Yeah, I think it's because it's not about being, it's not about, it's about being owning the parts of you that are softer, that are, you know, you don't have to be a man in order to be successful, in order to be empowered, you know. And a lot of, I mean, even still to this day, we still know people in our circle that are disempowered in their lives and feel like they can't leave their partner, or they can't, they wouldn't be okay on their own. And for me, one of the things for me particularly is to make sure that women are empowered in terms, especially in terms of their finances, because a big reason that a woman doesn't stand on their own, or doesn't maybe leave an abusive relationship, or, you know, leave a loveless marriage or whatever, is because they feel that they can't do it on their own. And I feel like what happens is, it is part of the reason that they attracted this type of energy into their lives in the first place, is that they felt disempowered. They felt like, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I can't do this. And money is actually the simplest thing to master. I know you give your, you know, the people in your community, you give them an opportunity through the direct selling process to help them with that. The way that we do it is, you know, I want to help people have a system to organize their finances so that they never have to worry. Like, it's really, really simple to master. They never have to worry about it again. But the reason that's so important for me is I've seen so many people that don't feel empowered enough in their own selves to be able to go and stand out on their own. And then on the flip side of that, you know, especially last year, we had comment after comment after comment about how many people were grateful to having a system to manage their finances, because it meant that they didn't have to worry. When life was being mental, they didn't have to worry about it. So I totally am with you on that. I think you and I are definitely on the same page about that.
Totally. The power of what you guys teach, though, you know, is amazing. Like, you know, it's, I don't know if it's valued enough, because that system, you know, being able to kind of, you know, work through the program of Mastermind and Money and whatever like that is so powerful. Two of our children have gone through it live. Another one's gone through it virtually on the online course. It's something that I'm constantly encouraging, you know, within our community for people to do, because managing your money, no matter what it is that you've got. And I think, again, a little bit like taking, you know, we talked about taking the step forward when you're not always sure, but just taking, having the courage to step forward, no matter where your finances are right now, having the courage to take a step forward and learn something, and then be able to kind of go, you know what, it's like when I talk to people about, you know, when people talk to me about tithing and things like that, and they, oh, you know, I haven't got any money. I said, well, you know what, you've probably got a dollar in your pocket. 10% of that is 10 cents. Can you give 10 cents? Oh yeah, I can do that. So you can do an action. So, you know, if anybody is listening to this and, you know what, money still has emotion attached to it for you, oh my gosh, give yourself the best gift ever and go through the course with these guys, because it is empowering. And it was one of the reasons why we shared it with our kids, because I wish we had have known it so much earlier, because a lot, you know what, my dad always says, you know, when poverty comes in the door, love goes out the window.
This is what the last thing we got was, when poverty comes in the door, love goes out the window. That's the last thing we got.
Okay, so my dad always shared that with me. And you know what? I know, I can honestly say, hand on heart, the challenges that myself and Mick have had over the years, especially in our early marriage, and you're building a house and you've got children and all that, had all to do with money.
Yes.
And it was, and you know, if we had known the skills back then, oh my gosh, it would have saved an awful lot of grief. It's one of the reasons why we've made it so important for our kids to know this stuff.
Yeah.
So that they don't, you know, it just takes another issue off the table.
Yeah. And I think, and for me, responsibility is the greatest form of empowerment. So when you can be responsible for your finances, when you can be responsible and say that it is on you, it's not on anybody else to make that happen for you, that's when you become empowered. It's not about waiting on somebody else to give you a pay rise, waiting for your husband to, you know, agree, waiting for anything else to happen. It's about, no, I'm responsible for who I am, what I bring. And at that point, I know I'm empowered, because the key to my happiness, the key to my success, is not in anybody else's pocket.
we often say there's no white knight about to ride in to save you. It's actually, it is up to you.
100%.
Yeah. But I think as well, when we looked at working with people, especially when it came to transforming your wealth or the wealth principles of mass amount of money, the simplicity of it was not, you know, it made it easy for us to do it, but that wasn't the competitor. The competitor was the lineage that people had come from and having the courage to break that poverty lineage and realize the reason you're in this room, the reason you're looking at this stuff is because it heard you, you know, life heard you and you're here to break that lineage. Doing the wealth principles is inspiring and simple and it makes you feel so rich and like it brings out all, you know, it builds your self-worth, your self-esteem. It makes you feel like for the first time in your life, you are, you know, you are severing the lineage, a bloodline of poverty and denial of that poverty, you know, because most people get to their deathbed in debt anyway. But the thing that having to help people through that part of them that doesn't feel they're enough or they're worthy is the most magical thing of what we really get to do, you know, because when you're getting those calls, like you know, someone comes up to you and says, look, I've been able to buy Christmas presents, I've been able to get a DVD player. That's because that person had what it took to look at what was actually holding them back. Do you know what I mean? And, a lot of the time it is that little bit of self-belief, because once you get that bit of self-belief, once you do it once, you know, once you change your life once you get your first client that comes and goes, I want to get that product off you. Once you have that sense of, oh my God, somebody actually listened to me and believes me and felt what I'm passionate about. And, you know, it's contagious and it's, you know, and that's what we have to fill our lives with, is that contagion, that part of us that just wants to be inspired and encourage others to be inspired and make a difference.
I think that's why your community is so good, because your community works off that. It feeds off that. It feeds off, right, you might have a lineage of people who don't believe X, Y, Z, but you now, like you said before, success leaves clues, but now you have leaders who are showing you the way, leaders who are helping you along the way so that you're not in this on your own. Sure, you might have some people who don't, you know, you might have that lineage, but you over here, you've got a community, you've got a group of people. And I think that's why, I mean, leadership is super important for you guys, right?
Yeah,
but totally. I feel like that's what actually makes, as well as understanding PD and knowing that PD is a part of the journey, that personal development is part of the journey, leadership is just as important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, it's like it's each of these leaders that sometimes we put on pedestals or whatever like that had to have the courage to take the first step. So it's just knowing that they're exactly the same as you. They've just woken up every day choosing to make a commitment to the actions that's going to move them forward.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that, like you say, whether it's this applying the simple principles that you teach in, you know, in each of your courses or whatever, or for, you know, for the direct sellers or anybody who's in business, applying what is the principle, or whether you're on a health journey, what are the actions I need to take today? You know, it's just choosing, like I said earlier on, it's choosing the actions that are going to move you towards your goal today.
Yeah.
And just having the courage to kind of move forward in that. Mm. And you know what? There are going to be the stories. Every single one of us has the I'm enough, not enough story, or I'm this or I'm that. Yeah. There are always going to be stories we will tell ourselves. It's whether we choose to stay in that story or whether we choose to kind of create and write a more empowering one. Mm. And that's our choice every single day.
Yeah.
And it's just a story.
It is. 100%.
Okay. One last question before we finish up. What do you think, if you could label it, what do you think gives you that drive, gives you the inspiration to do what it is you do?
I really believe it's the purpose that God has put in my heart, that, you know, my story's not finished yet. There was times, I have to say, in these last 4 months where I just kind of thought, okay, that's it. You know, my job's done. I just need to focus, you know, here on our family and all the rest. And I just kept getting this nudge and this prompting that, you know what, your story's not over yet. You still have so much more work to do. There are still people who need to be inspired to live a life on purpose for a purpose. And so, you know, that's that prompting that constantly comes from from God, that little nudge to go, you know what, there's so much more to be done yet. There are so many more people that need to be helped or inspired. And, you know, it's not just about me. It's about the communities that we get to create along the journey to be able to support. So I'm literally just want to be, you know what, that pebble that maybe is being thrown in that's creating the ripples. And, you know, then that between us all of the ripples and all of the pebbles that are going in, that we get to change the world. And so I'm in different communities. I love, you know, the pebble that you guys throw in, and I love being a part of that ripple effect. And, you know, the stone that, you know, the church communities that I'm involved with get to throw in and being part of that ripple effect, and our Juice Plus community, and then the wider direct sales community. And so I just see myself as just another pebble that's getting thrown in to be able to create the ripples. But what we know, if we don't keep throwing the pebbles in, the ripples stop. Our job's not done until we've managed to be able to empower and influence as many people as possible to be able to live life on purpose for a purpose.
Do you think, I know that was supposed to be my last question, but do you think and do you feel that with everything that's happened in the past 4 months, that was a pebble that was thrown in, and that ripple effect is meant to be felt throughout your community with everything that you've had to learn as a result of that?
Yeah, you know what? It has. One of the biggest lessons out of this past 4 months, besides an even more knowing that one day I will get to see our granddaughter in heaven, grandchildren now actually, but besides that I feel that the lesson I personally need to learn out of this was actually empathy. Was, you know what, we don't ever know what people are going through.
Yeah.
And so being even more aware, and I'm noticing that awareness in myself now, that I'm just, because I can be quite a stubborn and probably kind of driven and a little bit kind of like, you know what, let's get stuff. And sometimes it's like, you know what, I'm creating this tornado and not stopping and kind of going, how is this impacting the people around me? And so I'm actually, you know, noticing that I'm actually just taking a little bit more awareness, and the gift has been just being more empathetic, and just kind of looking to see what's the story behind the story. And that, okay, not taking everything purely on face value, going, okay, is there a story behind the story here? And not being so dogged. So there was definitely lessons to learn, and the gifts that came out of this whole experience definitely, you know, have been huge, absolutely huge. So most definitely, you know, in my depths, I thought, okay, I've thrown the last pebble. But as I started to kind of unpack it a little bit more over this last few months, it was really just like you say, it was just another pebble in there that I needed to learn. And then that actually has made me probably even stronger, and the ability to be able to help even more people maybe going forward.
So, listen, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We really, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. You're our Mama Celine too, you know. And grandmama Celine now too, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
it was so great hanging out, buddy. I love these opportunities to be able to chat and connect. And when I see you, I'm sending virtual hugs, you hear me?
Yeah. Can't wait to see you again in person.
Tell the big man I said g'day, yeah.
I will.
Thanks so much, Celine.
No worries. Take care. God bless.
Mwah. Okay, thanks, mate.
No worries.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.